First Timothy chapter 5, if you would, in your Bible. First Timothy chapter 5. I'm just going to use this mic, Brother Nick. I'm not planning on moving too much. First Timothy chapter 5. I appreciate the men of our church filling in while we've been out. And it sure is a blessing. I was telling a pastor this morning I was talking to. He said, man, you've missed a lot the last couple weeks. And I said, man, we've got some preachers that do a good job in our church and some men. And he's like, I can't go anywhere. He said, I haven't been anywhere in years. I can't. And if I do, I got to call another church to send somebody over. I mean, and I'm so thankful for the men of our church. And Brother Jeff and Dad did a good job this past Sunday. And just all the services have been good. I've been able to watch every one of them. It's an encouragement. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and look with me in verse number 14. So I've been studying here, and I know it's been a few weeks since we've been on it, but on God's blueprint for the home, and God's got an order for the home, and He's got a plan for the home, and if everybody would just fall in line with what they're supposed to do, and they do it to please God, then you'll have a home that pleases God, and you'll have a peaceful home. And so we dealt with the men for a long time, and now we're on the wives, and so I've been dealing with a wife being in submission to her husband. And Lord willing, this will be the last one on the wives submitting to their husband. And then next week, Lord willing, or 2 weeks, Brother Jim's, unless he wants to teach on it next week, will be the wife needs to like her husband. No, it's the wife needs to support her husband. And so, and I'm not talking about financially. But we'll look at that, Lord willing, next time we get on. But hopefully we'll finish up with this tonight. And so, if I had to title the lesson for tonight, it's "The Wife Is Not the Husband."
Amen.
So, I know that sounds confusing, but you got to explain that to people today. The wife is not the husband. All right? So, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 14. If you're there, say amen if you would.
Amen.
All right, 1 Timothy 5:14. The Bible said, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan." And so that is a scary thought, that when he's talking about younger women marrying, bearing children, guiding the house, that if they don't do those things, they can give occasion to the adversary, and there's some of them that have just gone too far and already turned aside after Satan. Satan has been trying to ruin the order of the home since the very beginning. We've preached a lot on that. We spent a lot of time on that. And so if you're out of order as a wife, and I've already dealt with the husbands on this. If you missed some of that, I promise I went over the husbands for a long time. But if you're out of order when it comes to your place in the home, then you're going to give occasion to the adversary. And you're going to cause a reproach to be brought upon your family, the church, and Christ. And then if you let it go too long without getting it in check, then all of a sudden you're turned aside after Satan. And Satan, he got out of order, and he wants your home out of order too. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And this will be the last study on the idea of the wife is to submit to her husband. And we looked at the fact that a wife should submit to her husband in everything, submit to her husband even when he's wrong. That's hard to do sometimes, but you allow God to deal with it. All right, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible said that the aged women, well, up in verse 1, he's talking about things which become sound doctrine. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So again, we find that for a wife to be in the position, in the role that God meant for her, if you do that, then you'll keep from the adversary ruining your home, people saying things about it, and blaspheming the Word of God. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants to blaspheme the Word of God. I had to sit through an hour-long study, and I know this is going out on the internet, but I really don't care anymore on some of the stuff. I should, but I had to sit through an hour-long study on ethnic and what was the other word they used? It was sensitivity training. So if a guy comes in and he's a single dad and he comes into work late, this is one of the examples given. He comes into work late and he's yawning and he's tired. We're not supposed to ask him, why are you late and why are you tired? I mean, well, now anybody can do anything and you can't get in trouble for it at work. I mean, that was the whole training. I called my boss afterwards and I was like, I'm good now. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, you can't fire me for nothing anymore. He's like, I know. And this just makes it even harder that he's having to deal with the situation. But, I mean, it went over all these things. And it was a sensitivity training we had to have. There was a Southern company put it on. And, man, we are going so far away from the Bible, it's not even funny.
Amen.
I mean, we're going in the opposite direction.
Amen.
We have to be sensitive to everybody and whatever their holiday is.
Right.
And everybody's got a holiday. I had to sign up for something on Google today for my work. I was sitting in the office doing it, and I'm sitting there scrolling through, and it said gender. It had female first, and then male, and then it had other, and then what was the last one? I told you it was custom.
Oh,
wow. I'm going to click on custom. So I clicked on custom, and guess what it was? A blank box. Whatever I want my gender to be, I can write it in there. I mean, that's so far against the Word of God. And what I'm teaching tonight about the wife is not the husband goes against society and against everything that is taught. But we've studied this for a little while on the wife submitting to her husband. But I want to say this tonight when it comes to this subject. And I've already taught on the men. But a wife submitting to her husband does not mean she's the servant of the home.
Amen.
The wife is to submit. She's not supposed to be the servant. She's not the housemaid. She's not the servant that's supposed to just serve every, you know, everything that you ever need. She's supposed to be a help meet. You're pulling together to serve God. Not supposed to be a servant. She's not supposed to be a doormat. She's not supposed to be somebody you can talk to any way you want to. Like she's one of the hired help. Which, of course, the sensitivity training from yesterday, even if she is the hired help, you can't talk to her that way anymore. And if she's late and on her cell phone, you just got to excuse it because she's probably dealing with one of her kids or her sodomite lover or whatever. God never intended for marriage to be that way. What I mean by that is whenever you preach and teach on wives submit to their husbands and husbands lead their home, it never fails. There's people that take it and they say, I'm the man, you obey me. And they treat her like a slave or like a servant instead of a helpmeet.
Right.
They take it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Now, and I know people that take it the wrong way and they preach it the wrong way. But that's not what it should be. A wife should be free to have an opinion.
Amen.
I mean, she should be.
Amen.
I would be foolish if I didn't ever listen to my wife. She is smarter than I am.
Amen.
In a lot of ways. She's not in here, so I can say that. If she was here, I probably wouldn't tell her that. But she is. I said that she knows it.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. Yeah, she used to live in that house too. So she is. She's smart. A wife should be free to have and be free to state her opinion. What she's not free to do is to nag or pitch a fit when he doesn't go with whatever she thinks.
Amen.
That was loud. So that's where she gets in trouble.
Right.
I mean, she's free to state it. She ought to be free to do that. But if that husband makes a decision that goes against what she thinks, that's when she ought to stop and give it to God.
Absolutely.
And when she pushes it past, that's when she's getting out of line. A wife has to accept her husband's leadership in the family and do it with the right attitude. If you want to please God. You got to do it with the right attitude. This type of submission is the kind that pleases God. And in return, God will bless you. Go over to James chapter number 4. This verse is used a lot to talk about Christians as a whole, their submission towards God. And that's exactly what this is dealing with. But wives, you're instructed to submit to your husband. So in doing that, you're submitting to God. Just like children is to obey and honor their parents. If they do that, then they're submitting to God. And if a husband submits to the Bible and submits to the authority of the church, and he puts himself in line where he's supposed to be and submits to God, then he's falling in line there too. Everybody's got somebody to submit to. James chapter 4 and verse number 7 and 8, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil." Again, we find this area of submission, the devil's involved. We read just over there a second ago about a wife obeying her husband and keeping her home so that the adversary wouldn't get his way, so that the word of God would not be reproached. And again, when it comes to submission, we find the devil involved. He does not want you submitting to God. And if that means you not submitting to your husband, then that's what he'll do. If that means the kids not submitting to their parents, then that's what he'll do. If that means the husband not submitting to the authority of the church or authority to God or what God has for him, that's exactly what he's going to try to do. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The husband and wife, they ought to work together in unison to please God. And they each have their role, and they each have their place to do that. And so when we talk about submission, and we're dealing specifically with a wife submitting to her husband here, rebellion is out of control in America. It's out of control in a lot of churches. Rebelling against authority. I read an article this morning. Out of all the Amazon distribution centers across the United States, that they're giving them $15 an hour to start off with or more in a lot of these places. In Alabama, $15 an hour at the distribution center. They are picketing and they're going on strike because they want to form a union because they want more money. But we've opened the box now. This thing's out of control. You say, what are you getting? I'm talking about rebellion. If you don't like $15 an hour, then go find another job or go learn something to make more money. Everybody has that choice, that freedom. You say, well, I can't do it, or I can't get, you know, whatever the case might be. I don't know. Well, then if you can't, then live with it.
Amen.
Something. Amen. It's just, but they're nobody's satisfied. They want to get paid for absolutely doing nothing. And so rebellion is out of control. But rebelling to God's will is exactly what the devil wants. And God has a plan and an order for every one of us. And when we don't do that, we are rebellion. The Bible has a lot to say about rebellion, and I'm not going to go in that tonight for sake of time. But rebelling to God's will is not just something that children do.
Right.
It's not just something that employees do.
Right.
It's not just something that wives do. It's something that all Christians do, or all people.
Amen.
All people have a tendency to rebel. And so it's a problem that a lot of Christians face, and it's an attitude of rebellion towards God. When God reveals rebellion and he brings it to the surface, there's one or two things that's going to take place. Either somebody's going to deal with it and get right, or they will be openly rebellious and they don't care who hears about it. How many times have you met somebody, and specifically talking about wives here, you've met somebody that they are openly rebellious against their husband and they don't care what anybody thinks about it? They're going to give their opinion about how he did wrong, and they're going to give their opinion about how he should have done it different, and they're going to give their opinion about how that he doesn't listen to her, and they're openly rebellious. They don't even care. I don't think we have any in the church right now, but we've had some here before. Man, that they didn't think twice about telling you how dumb their husband was in front of everybody. And he might have been, but that's not your place to do that. That's open rebellion against God's order. I've seen kids do this to their parents in public. And it ought not to be that way. I have seen people get knocked out before for doing that, but it's been a long time. But this open rebellion causes problems. And so this type of rebellion of not submitting, children not submitting to their parents, the wife not submitting to her husband, the husband not submitting to God, or submitting to the Word of God, that kind of rebellion towards God's order is exactly how we got in the condition we're in today in our country. And there's this thing called role reversal. So what's that? That's when I'm trying to watch a basketball game and commercials come on with men doing dishes and doing the laundry, and there's nothing wrong with them helping with that, but they're doing that while the wife's at work at corporate America.
Right. That's right.
Say what? That's role reversal. The lesson tonight is the wife is not the husband. The husband's job is to protect, provide for his family, to love his family. He does that by protecting them, by providing for them. He protects spiritually, physically, emotionally. He protects all those areas of his home, and he provides for his family.
Amen.
And the wife's job, from the verses we read just right here, are to be a keeper at home.
Amen.
And to love her husband. And to love her children, and to be chaste, and to be good, and to be obedient to her own husband. That's the instructions that God gave. And I understand if sometimes they have to work outside the home. Sarah had to when we first got married, and thankfully we were able to stop that soon. I mean, she might have to go back to work tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen, especially if I speak up during sensitivity training anymore. I might be looking for a job. But we know that happens, but at the end of the day, it's my responsibility.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could just sit at home all day. Well, I know I couldn't do it homeschooling like she does. Amen. But I don't know if I could do that while she was out there working every day. And I'm the one that stays at home. Amen. I'd have a hard time doing that. And what, you know, one of the reasons, that's not what God intended. But now, but all that is normal today. The husband at home, he's sitting there doing the laundry and doing these things, and it's just this whole role reversal, and it's exactly what the devil wanted to do to mess up God's plan. And today, there's women that they don't have a desire to be a mother. They don't have a desire to keep the house. They don't want to do it. They don't want to keep the house clean. They don't want to be a mother. They have no desire to do any of those things. And it's sad. I mean, there's daycares raising children today. There's daycares that are seeing the first steps and that are hearing the first words and teaching them bad words and all kind of stuff. I mean, this is what's going on in America. And it's going on in a lot of Christian homes. And it's this whole big role reversal thing, and it's all messed up, and I think it's been an attack on the home since the beginning from the devil. But there's a lot of women today that they show contempt for wanting to be a mother and wanting to keep house. I mean, they're looking for every chance they can to get rid of their kids. Have any of you heard any of this? I try to get Sarah to go somewhere with me without the kids. I'm begging her, can we go without the kids? But she loves having our kids around. She's a good mother. I mean, but I know even Christian moms who they cannot wait to get rid of their kids. And I understand a break every now and again, but I'm talking about they're always trying to get rid of them. They're always shipping them off to grandparents or shipping them off somewhere else. And they can't wait to, I mean, if they went 2 weeks without their kids, it wouldn't bother them one bit. And that's a dangerous place to be in.
Amen.
I know wives that work from home, and are they a housekeeper? I mean, that's what they don't have a secular job, but they won't clean the house. And they get frustrated. Their husband comes home from work, and she hands him the kids and says, "By the way, the dishes need to be done, and the laundry needs to be done." And again, there's nothing wrong with him helping with those things. I'm talking about the home being out of order. And so that's a dangerous place to be. And when that happens, and you're raising children, especially daughters, You're training them to be feminist.
That's right.
Not feminine.
Right.
That's what they need to be.
Right.
But feminist.
That's right.
Look with me in Ezekiel chapter number 16. If you don't ever want to be a mother and keep house and have a desire to do those things, and you get aggravated by the thought of even cleaning or cooking or doing anything like that, and you're raising children, you're teaching your children something that's going to be, that they're going to grow up to be Democrats and voting for Biden. All right, Ezekiel chapter 16, look with me at verse number 44. There's an example of this in Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 44. All right, behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. You know, a lot of mothers, that ought to scare them. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. There's a biblical example of somebody loathing their husband. And when you don't want to be a homekeeper and raise your children and be a mother, you're teaching your children to do that. I mean, why would your daughter want to grow up and take care of a family?
Right.
And I'll give you an example of that. You know, Emma is 6 years old, all right? And she watches Sarah do everything in our house.
Amen.
She watches her clean. She watches her cook. She watches her take care of the other children and take care of things. And she watches her take care of me and everything we do in our house, and she follows her and she wants to do it.
Amen.
And she is just as stubborn as Sarah. And when you tell her, Emma, you can't do this, you're not big enough, you can't tell her that. Just get out of her way and let her try and then fix it later. Because she wants to do it.
Amen.
She wants to watch. I mean, if you're cooking, I mean, I've been trying to help out with some stuff around the house the last few days and let Sarah rest, and I'm there. And next thing I know, there's a stool under me and a body sitting right here. And she's like, Daddy, what are we doing? I mean, she wants to do it. And then when Sarah is not cooking or cleaning, guess what she's doing? She's being served by Emma, who cooked up something in her little kitchen. I mean, I've eaten so many plastic meals over the last week, it's not even funny. But Emma's in there cooking. She's got her apron on. And she's got a little baby, and she's taking care of that baby. And when she's not doing that, she even has a little cleaning set. You say, what are you getting at? She thinks it's the greatest thing ever.
Amen.
Well, where does she learn that?
Amen.
So the question is, for the moms out there, and I know we got people that listen online too, is your little girl, when she's playing, is she playing with babies and changing diapers and cooking and cleaning? Or does she just want to gripe and complain about everything and sit on her phone?
Come on,
and lay around and just eat snacks all the time?
Well, yeah.
I mean, what does she want to do? Because as the mother is, so is the daughter. And when you raise them to not want to be a mother and not want to keep house and not wanting to take care of a family and raise a family, then you're raising a feminist. Somebody that wants to grow up and has no desire to have any children. Have anybody ever met any women that says, I do not want children?
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Absolutely.
Isn't that sad? That's very sad. And so the mother's attitude will affect the children. And you can watch kids sometimes, even away from their parents, to see what they want to do. If they want to play, and they want to pretend to cook and chef, and they want to make food. I mean, if anybody's ever come to our house, Emma has probably served you some kind of plastic food.
Amen.
All right? But I've been around kids before where all they want to do is sit in a device somewhere. And they have an attitude. And when you ask them to get up and clean, They immediately react with an attitude. Where did they get that? They probably hear it at home. They probably hear it at home. And if they love living in filth, I'm not saying all the time, but if they love living in filth, their home's probably that way. They don't mind living in that atmosphere. And I think my wife cleans a little too much sometimes. I'm like, would you please sit down? People were bringing us food to the house, and we greatly appreciate all that. Man, we got so much food. But Sarah was so worried about people coming over because she hadn't vacuumed or swept or something. It's like, Sarah, the house is immaculate right now. We've been gone for 3 days. But I appreciate her wanting to clean. Sometimes I got to get her to sit down, though. But when it comes to this thing of role reversal, men are just as much to blame as the women are in a lot of areas. And the reason is because some of the women have to take control. They've got to run the finances. They've got to make decisions because their sorry husband won't. I mean, if you have a family with children, somebody has to make an adult decision in the house. And sometimes there's women that do, and so they get accused of trying to run the home when the fact is somebody has to do it for the survival of these children. And so because the husband won't do his part, then she has to. And now, husband, you're causing her to do something. She's not the husband. The wife is not the husband. And I've been given illustrations of wives that take that role because they feel like they want it or they need it or they deserve it or whatever. But there's also in other scenarios where they have to do it because he's not doing it. The husband should be responsible for the finances. When Sarah and I first got married, I keep going back to that. I could not keep a checkbook. I mean, I bounced it twice and she took it from me. But I gave it to her. And I was still responsible for it. But the Lord really convicted me about it. And I said, show me how to do this better. And so I did, and I took it back, and I've had it ever since. And she has no clue what's in there. It's not because she can't find out anytime she wants to. That's not her burden. Amen. She does not need to worry whether or not a bill's going to get paid. She doesn't need to worry about that. And if she needs anything, I don't need to say, no, you can't have that because I don't need to put that on her. I need to say, we'll see what we can do, and I'm going to try to find a way to make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
That burden does not, but in a lot of homes, she has to do it. She has to make financial decisions. She's got to pay the bills. She's got to talk to the debt collector because he's sorry and he won't do it. And so that role reversal happens, and it's not just the wife to blame. Sometimes it's the husband to blame because of it, because he won't just man up and do what's right. Some wives have to juggle their spiritual walk with God between submitting to their husband and running the home. That's a hard thing to juggle. Trying to submit and obey my husband and try to please the Lord, but I've got to run the home because he won't. And that's a sad place to be in as well. But it's not just men who neglect their calling from God, not just women, not just children. I mean, everybody has this problem with rebellion from time to time. All right, go with me to Psalms chapter 37. I'm going to finish up here. The wife is not the husband. God never intended for her to be the husband. He intended for her to be the wife, the helpmeet. God's will for a young lady we just read was to love her husband, love her children, be keepers at home, obedient to her own husband. That is what God's will is for her, for that wife. And all that is to be done not to blaspheme the word of God. And the issue, whenever you preach or teach on something like this, they say, well, you don't like women. And it's not to say that a wife is not smart enough, that she's not capable enough, that she's not superior enough. That has nothing to do with it. I mean, for a wife to come and say, well, I can handle the checkbook. Nobody ever said you couldn't. I'm capable of doing this. Congratulations. Nobody ever said you weren't capable of doing it. Nobody's accusing you of not being good enough to run the home. Nobody's accusing you of not being good enough to run the checkbook or to make decisions in the home, to be the decision. Nobody ever said you weren't good enough to do that or capable enough. It has nothing to do with that. Because in a lot of times, she's more capable than he is. I mean, have you seen these guys that are being produced today? They're pretty sorry. She's more than capable than he is in most cases. This has to do with honoring God's word and obeying the order that he put in place. The fact is that most women are probably more competent to take on the responsibility than the husband. We've got to maintain God's order for the home. An example would be we've got some great preachers in our church and some great teachers that probably could do a lot better job than what I'm even doing tonight, especially on this subject. I've been married a long time and I've got a lot of experience, but God called me to pastor this church.
Amen.
And that's the place he's put me in. It's my responsibility.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that nobody in here couldn't do it. I mean, there have been men preaching the last few weeks and done a great job, and Brother Bowen leading the services, and it doesn't mean that they couldn't do it. This is just what God has planned for this church. And in your home, God's plan is for the husband to be a man and lead his home, and the wife to submit to her husband and be a helpmeet, and then pull together to serve God. Doesn't mean that he's any better than her. Doesn't mean that she's not capable. It just means God has an order and he's got a way he wants to do things. Let me leave you this last thing when it comes to a wife submitting to her husband or obeying her husband. An obedient wife can expect a few things if she would just submit to her husband. And again, we talked about even if her husband's not doing right, she's still just to submit. She can, number one, she can expect that God will fulfill the promises that he's made her.
Amen.
What promises? We've been talking about them over the course of the study. God will protect you.
Amen.
If he won't, and he's not doing right, and you just submit and obey God, God will protect you.
Amen.
If you submit and obey, God will deal with your husband. God will deal with him.
Yeah.
And the third thing is, you're free from all consequences of decisions. We talk about that umbrella effect. If somebody goes and sells the house out from underneath of you and doesn't have a place for you to live, he'll have to deal with it. If you submit to your husband, yes, Lord. Little L, not big L. Yes, Lord.
Right.
Talking about your husband.
Right.
Yes, Lord. Whatever you say. I told you I didn't think this was a good idea, but whatever you say. Every time Miss Sayers ever said that to me, I take a step back and say, "Now let me think about this again." Because you know what she did? She just freed herself from all consequences.
Right.
And now it's all on me. If the Lord judges, it'll be me. But if she rebels and she doesn't submit, now she's the one that has to deal with consequences.
That's right. Absolutely.
Last verse, Psalms 37, verse 3 through 5. Again, you say, well, what do these verses have to do with marriage and home and family? They got everything to do with it. Because it has to do with trusting God and submitting to God. In the area that God has for you. Psalms 37, 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. That was one of the things that we read about up there in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women. One of the things was to be keepers at home and good.
Right.
Teach you to be good.
Amen.
So you got to be taught that, obviously, because the Bible told the older women to teach the younger women to be good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So what's that? God's going to take care of you.
Right.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And God will protect you. Sometimes that protection is to remove you from a bad situation.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes we look at situations and you say, man, they didn't work out. Well, maybe that was God's protection.
Amen.
Maybe he was an idiot that just went to a reprobate mind, or maybe he wasn't going to get right with God. I don't know. I'm not advocating anything. I'm saying you obey God and he'll take care of you.
That's right.
He'll protect you.
Amen.
And I want God's protection. All right, let's all stand.